All right. All right, so we're in this weary world rejoices, and I'm going to confess to you, I'm a weary individual having a hard time rejoicing. I'm just going to lay that out there. I'm having a hard time because I feel this tension of all the stuff and all the things, and this year is vastly different than any other year, and I do feel tension every other year. But it all like will release on Christmas Eve night after we build up to that frenzied pitch of like everything must go smoothly this one night, and then we have the release. But at least I'll have the joy of like seeing you all. I'll have the experience of being with you and celebrating with the candles held high, and all, you know what I'm talking about, right? Because you know it. You may not be on this side of it, but you know that we're not gonna get it. And I'm downright frustrated with it. And doing all this work, like making sure everything is right, all the videos come in and editing the videos and making them properly. I enjoy a little bit of that, but to have that tension and then not have the release at the end of it and the experience of the communal joy that we share, it's like, come on, what have we done to ourselves here? And really, it wasn't, I don't want to get political on that. It's not to ourselves. This is safety for others too. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not just a weary world. I'm a weary individual having a hard time rejoicing. But I know I'm not alone. I think we're all in it together. We're in this last week of Advent, whether I remembered it or not. Like, see how tiny those candles are? Because when you do two takes on a sermon, they get smaller. And I was ready to put them away. And then I was like, oh no, I hope it lasts. If that wreath catches on fire, somebody let me know. But Christmas is on its way. We've been working through Matthew, actually. We're looking at Matthew. We're going to skip ahead a little bit and talk about and look at Matthew chapter 3. This is John the Baptist, actually. This is a story about John the Baptist and his role in announcing the coming of Jesus. And so what I want to kind of highlight is that he's here to tell the truth. And he's telling the truth of the coming of Jesus, preparing the way for Jesus to arrive. And even then, even though he's telling the truth, people didn't believe him. People had a hard time hearing the truth. They had a hard time believing the truth. And that's actually a problem that we still have today. People have a hard time hearing the truth and believing the truth. Truth with a capital T, especially. I was sitting on an airplane one time. It's been several years ago now. I don't even remember where it was or where I was going. I know we were in Columbus, but like we were getting ready to fly somewhere. And I love to look out the window and see all the little goings-on of the airport, right? Because I don't get to see the airport very often. Like, oh, cool, what's he doing? You know, oh, that's the tiniest little tractor I've ever seen, but it sure pulls a lot of suitcases. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just like watching that stuff. But this time, I look out the window, you know, it's like right here, I'm looking out the window. All I see is wing and cloudy skies. You know, like, that's it. And so, nothing to really look at or to see. And apparently, I fell asleep. I fell asleep so deeply that when I came to, I didn't really know that I was asleep or had been asleep. And I'm like, I don't know. It feels like we're moving. Have we left the tarmac? Have we taken off? Like, I look out the window, wing, gray sky. Like, that's all. I have no sense of reference and no bearing to see, like, are we on the move? And so then I look out, like, look this way to see down, like, oh, okay, so we've taken off. I see the ground moving real slowly beneath me, and then realize, okay, actually the ground isn't moving. It's the plane that's moving, and we're headed towards our destination. Okay, but I needed a fixed point. I needed something that wasn't moving to determine whether or not I was moving. Or maybe you've experienced this like this. I've had this happen multiple times. You're in a parking lot. Say you're at a grocery store, you're at the parking lot, and you're sitting there in your car, and the car next to you moves, and you're like, whoa! It hit the brake, Because it feels like you're the one moving. But no, it's not you moving. It's the car next to you moving. But you have to focus on a fixed point, maybe the store or another car around you, and realize, okay, I'm not the one moving. It's the car next to me moving. It's like that with truth a little bit, isn't it? There's with truth, like, there's no fixed point of truth anymore. We need a fixed point like that to determine whether we're the ones moving or if the other people are moving. We live in a post-truth society where truth is no longer a fixed point that you can reference off of to determine if you're moving or somebody else is moving. Post-truth society. Have you ever heard that term? Post-truth? Wikipedia, deep research here that I did. Post-truth from Wikipedia says it's a philosophical and political concept for the disappearance of shared objective standards of truth. We no longer have shared objective standards like you and I both know that this is real. That's gone now. We don't have that luxury anymore. And that idea of post-truth impacts everything. I thought I'd show you some pictures of how deeply this impacts us, this post-truth society. If you look at advertisements, here's the advertisement for the Whopper on the left, and then that they want you to believe that this is truth, but reality is much different, right? Because you open up the Whopper like, oh man, that's really what it looks like? Is it for, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? Okay, here's the next one. Taco Bell is the same thing. Look what they advertise. Like, no, this is the truth. This is what you get for your 89 cents or whatever it is. But this is what you actually get. That's the real truth. And you know this. This one right here on the right is a fixed point for all of us. We know this to be true. Okay. All right. So... Have you ever bought something from Amazon? All right, this is like Amazon thought he was getting a tank top, and this is what he thought he got was going to get, and that's what he got. I mean me. That was me. That's the way I look. Okay, keep going, please. All right, look, here's another one. Bought this dress off of Amazon. Turns out it looks like that. You know, these things happen in our society because truth isn't what you want. Think it should be. Keep going. All right, look at these Yeezys. Yeezys are, look at $750 for these Yeezys, and here's what they turned out to be. Oh man, so disappointing to have that to be your reality. All right, is there any more? Go to the next one, please. Okay, thank you. All right, so we live in this post-truth society that we don't always know exactly what we're going to get or what we're going to find when this reality comes around. Amazon will do that to you sometimes. There's not a fixed point of reference where you can say, yep, this is what it ought to be and this is where it should be. Think about most of our movies now that we watch have some kind of CGI in them. You know, this computer-generated graphics and things. That movie, The Avengers, the Endgame, like, was that last summer? Two summers ago? 97% of the scenes had CGI in them. None of that movie was real. They did it all on computers. But it goes even deeper than that. Now I'm going to say a couple political things here. On July 13th, the Washington Post published a headline. It said President Trump had told 20,000 false or misleading claims as president in 1,267 days. Now, say what you want about left-leaning, media, but 20,000 misleading claims in 1,267 days. But I'm an equal opportunity critic, so I'll say this too. Joe Biden, now I couldn't find any simple, quick number like that for Joe Biden because probably they don't want you to know his lies. But I did see that on the last debate alone, he had 12, and PolitiFact listed 20 lies for Joe Biden over the course of the campaign, and I'm sure it was a lot higher than that, just to be honest with you. Because they all lie. They're all lying. They all tell you what you want to hear or what they think you want to hear. So with this understanding that our culture is always being fed something that probably isn't real, our culture is now hungry for the real deal. Our culture looks for truth. It wants truth. It wants some kind of baseline. Instead of finding that actual truth, what often happens is people will create their own truth. You might even hear people say things like, I just have to live my truth, right? Like, that's a thing that we say. So this is my truth. But living your truth, culturally, in general, will rarely lead us to the truth, to the truth that John the Baptist came to tell us about in the form of Jesus Christ. So here's Matthew chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. And people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. All right, so here's the first point. The truth provides a fixed point. Truth provides a fixed point. Now, John the Baptist, he's a fiery character. The description of him in verses 4 through 6 there, he's living out in the wilderness. Okay, he's wearing clothes made of camel fur and a leather belt. Now, most of us, if we're wearing belts these days, they're leather. All my belts are leather. Although, I've been teaching in the schools a little bit, subbing, and I see the girls are now wearing ropes for belts. And I'm like, oh, you poor child, let me get you a real belt. I don't understand. She looks like she just took her shoelaces and went around. But I think normally, for us, leather belts are a good thing, but in that day, maybe not so much, because they highlighted it as a negative. He's wearing a leather belt. Well, we would think he's crazy. Okay, guy like that out in the wilderness, living like an animal, eating locusts and wild honey. That's his food. He's dressed like an animal. We would think he's crazy, right? And he starts out with the same words that Jesus uses as Jesus launched his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus said it this way, repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But it's very close, right? It's a fantastic idea that the kingdom of heaven is coming to earth. And I think we spend too much time thinking that earth is bad and we ought to leave it. Isn't that kind of what we normally do at this place? Thinks, I can't wait to go to heaven and be out of here. But God created humanity for earth, and he called it good. He means for us to be here. That means there's something good that's worth saving, that's worth redeeming, something worth making a connection to what is going on in earth here and now. And I think that's a fixed point of truth that we can rely on. Or better yet, people who don't yet know Jesus can rely on that this was intended to be good. It is good, and you are meant to be here, and you and this earth can be and will be redeemed. It's worth it. It's a good thing. We're living in a very weary world because people don't understand this truth. They don't recognize truth, period, but they don't understand or grasp this truth. The truth is not a fixed point for them. It's always moving. I said many times that I've grown up in a tradition where they ask the question, if you died tonight, would you know where you were going? I've told you about that before, right? You've probably heard that question before, too. It's meant to guilt you into going to the altar and getting saved. I think the problem with that is it assumes that you hadn't ought to be here. You ought to be someplace else. Do you know where that place is else that you should go and should be? And I think that's a fallacy to assume that, one, we don't belong here, and two, that that's the way to get you to that other place. We're going to talk about that in January, by the way. Here's the thing. We don't just get ejected out of earth. I heard this one when I was young, too. Bible is an acronym, B-I-B-L-E. It stands for this. Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Like, your whole goal is to not be here. I've probably talked about those things. You don't just live here so you can leave here. All right? And besides, the Bible's way more than just basic instructions before you leave earth. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about, is what happens when you die, in our hashtag Asking for a Friend series. But instead of asking, do you know where you're going to go if you die tonight? Let's ask this. How about, if you did not die tonight, do you know what you would do tomorrow to show people you're a Christian? Oh, let's ask that question to people and see if they're part of the family. Because here's the big point. Jesus didn't die to get you into heaven. Jesus died to get heaven into you. Right here. Right now. He came to redeem earth and all that is in it and bring heaven to us on earth. To help us live the platinum rule, which is love others as I have loved you. That is the fixed object that you can build your life around. This is the truth that you can have. It's not going to move anywhere. It's not an alternative truth or an alternative fact. The truth is that Jesus died to bring heaven on earth and into your life. So what does that mean? It means when you see people in need, you work to take care of it. You don't just say, I'm going to pray for you. It means constantly asking, what does love require of me in this situation? It means when you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto Jesus himself. Empathetically living on behalf of others and not for self. And so what do we reveal to others when we peel off that mask of faith? Remember, Unmasking Our Faith series. What is seen underneath that? And are we the ones living out the kingdom principles of Sermon on the Mount that we talked about? You see how all this kind of builds on one another. We pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as what? As it is in heaven. We pray that. And we want God to answer that. I certainly do. So moving on, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, this is John the Baptist, right? He sees many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing. He said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, well, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Man, that sounds a lot like things Jesus said in John chapter 15. Here's the second point. You know, the truth isn't always pretty. Yeah, sometimes the truth hurts. I think the point I make for the Tuesday Night Remix is truth tellers will tell you things you don't want to hear. Here's what John the Baptist says. He just says, hey, you religious leaders, you can stick it. You brood of vipers. Can you imagine telling anybody that? Oh, man, especially religious leaders. I mean, John the Baptist, he was already on the outs. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been living in the wilderness. And then he tells the religious leaders, you guys are a brood of vipers. And don't come around here saying that you're children of Abraham. You're not the brood of Abraham. You're the brood of vipers. What are vipers? Snakes, right? Now, snakes all throughout the Bible, starting in Genesis chapter 3, are seen and shown as deceptive elements. They're snakes, right? Adam and Eve with the serpent, he's lying, but with a nugget of truth. There was a little nugget of truth. He says, well, what did God tell you? God said, oh, we should not eat of the tree of the fruit of knowledge, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? Why? Because God said we'd surely die. And the snake comes over like, oh, you should not surely die. In fact, you'll become like God. And that sounds pretty appealing, doesn't it? Oh, I'm not going to die after all? Well, a little bit true. They didn't die right away. They eventually died. And they did become like God, but only in the sense that, just like God, now they knew what sin was. Now they entered this other world of, like, darkness, and they entered the pattern of temptation becoming sin over and over and over again. I think that thing that the snake told Adam and Eve was a conspiracy theory. It had a little bit of truth to it, but not the full truth. He wanted to lure them in with this conspiracy theory that God was withholding the whole truth from them. And that's what conspiracy theories will do. They'll tell you, like, you don't know the whole truth. I alone have the keys to the whole truth. And if you follow me, then you can have this truth too, this insider information. Now connect all these dots, and all of these dots have one little nugget of truth in them that will make you want to believe all of them to be true. Adam and Eve wanted that to be true, and they wanted to have that insider information. But honestly, whether it's Adam and Eve or conspiracy theories of today, most of the time, the truth is more mundane than the fancy things that people dream up. We get caught up in plandemics and QAnon and Democrats drinking the blood of babies. And when we do that, we lose our witness to the truth of Jesus coming into this world. Our entire purpose as an engaged Newark church and as a kingdom people is to be able to give the truth of the kingdom of heaven being at hand here and now. But how will anybody hear that if we're denying the fact that 300,000 Americans have lost their lives due to COVID-19 or complications thereof? The truth ain't pretty. The basis of our faith is hard enough to communicate. Our guy died and rose again. Talk about a conspiracy theory. That's hard enough to communicate. Don't complicate that with conspiracy theories that get you wrapped up in this world and lose the being in the kingdom of heaven at hand now. John the Baptist tells the religious leaders things they don't want to hear because the truth isn't pretty. You don't like what I'm saying about conspiracy theories. Truth isn't pretty. Call me a sheeple. Bye. Jesus told us to be sheep. Verse 11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All right, here's the last thing. Truth points us to something or someone other than ourselves. The truth isn't going to point back to ourselves. The truth will point to something better or greater than ourselves. In this case, it's Jesus. John the Baptist points everyone to Jesus. He wasn't looking to elevate himself. He was just elevating Jesus. And Jesus is our fixed point of truth. When we have things that confuse us or trick us or persuade us, we need to look at our fixed point. Is my car moving or is it the car next to me? Let me look at my fixed point. Truth is still a fixed point. And the problem is us humans, we've tried to redefine what is true to fit our desires, our preferences. It's the same thing Adam and Eve did in Genesis chapter 3. They just wanted to change the truth a little bit so that it fit their preference. I have all of this fruit to eat from all over the garden. Let me have my preferences to have the one I can't have. And you know this to be true if you have kids. Like, they want the thing that they can't have. So let me finagle away in my brain that I can justify me having this thing. Let me change the truth a little bit. Adam and Eve wanted the serpent to have the truth, but the serpent wasn't the fixed point. He was the one moving. All they had to do was look to God. The serpent tricked them. They looked to God, the fixed point, they wouldn't have been tricked. I've told you at the beginning, I'm weary. I'm tired of what COVID is doing to our schools, seeing it in the schools, to our healthcare workers. Gosh, you guys, I just can't imagine what you're going through. Strapping on that N95, put all the PPE on because of a truth that there's this illness out there that we have no defense for. And probably most of us in this room, we ain't getting a shot defense for several months because we're low on the list. It's doing vast harm to us at many kinds of level, and I'm weary of that. I'm tired of the politics too. I'm tired of the division in our nation. We've never seen a greater divide than what we have seen in 2020. None of us anyway, because we weren't alive during the Civil War. We might be. I'm tired of my friends being torn apart by these things, COVID-19 and politics. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of my friends dying. I've done 2 funerals in the last 6 weeks for personal friends, like peers, my friends. No, they didn't die because of COVID-19. They died for other reasons. But man, it's a loss that I'm still grappling with and probably will for some time. I'm tired of social media being a platform to convince people of their truth without any regard to capital T real truth or how others may experience truth in an opposite kind of way. I'm tired of the anger that I see about all of those things. And I'm tired about the anger that I have for them too. We're in a weary world. And it seems to me the more I preach about how to live in Jesus' kingdom, the less we actually do. And I'm tired of that too. This is probably the most difficult climate that we can find truth in. We live in the information age, but we also live in the post-truth age. Isn't that a strange conundrum? All this information, and the truth is hard to find. But you know what truth is. And you know where to point to someone greater than yourself. You have to point to Jesus himself. Here we are, 5 days from rejoicing that our Savior is born. I pray that not only can we find a way to recognize truth and rejoice in that truth, but we can find a way to be the reason why our weary world rejoices because of us pointing to the truth of Jesus Christ. Because we want to sing with full-throated honesty on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Joy to the world. The world. Not weary world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And when we finally receive Jesus as our king, then we will know the truth. Then we will have a truthful celebration for ourselves and for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, these things aren't always easy to hear or to live out, especially in our culture and our understanding of truth. It's not always what we want it to be or what it seems. Help us to get through the clutter and the muck and find you, find truth in you so that we have a solid fixed point. May we not get caught up in all those crazy conspiracy theories that are out there and leading us away from our fixed point of Jesus, you. Help us just to simply rely on you. And whatever those things are, they take care of themselves. It's not up to us. So God, on this week that we journey towards Christmas and all the celebrations, give us that bedrock of truth to rely on you. Give us rest from the weariness of not knowing truth. And give us peace that passes understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name.